In the last week's broadcast, we began a study in the first chapter of the Gospel of John on the subject of some personal glories and titles of the Lord Jesus. We noted that the first title given Christ here in this first verse is that of the Word, the Logos, or the expression of the whole person and mind of God. Secondly, he's the creator of all things. Third, in him was life. He is the source of all life. Fourth, the life was the light of men. Christ is the light of the world. Here we have four wonderful personal glories of Jesus Christ in eternity past. Let us now further pursue this theme of personal glories of the Savior presented in John 1. In verses 10 and 11, we are told that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. While there are no particular glories of the Lord stated here, we note these verses in passing as giving sad evidence of the spiritual darkness that was in the world of mankind when Jesus Christ entered it. The world of which he was the creator knew him not, and his own people, the Jewish race, from whom he was born as man, did not receive him. Christ was the true light shining in the world, but it was so dark, John the Baptist had to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Verse 7. The world of mankind knew not its creator, and his own earthly people rejected him. How sad this is. But the Apostle John goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Verse 12. Individuals, whosoever will, that did and still do receive Jesus Christ as the sent one of God, that believe in his name of Jesus, Jehovah Savior, are given the right to become children of God. He is the one sinners must receive to become God's children. Those who do so, the apostle further informs us, are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 13. This is the new birth, which Jesus later said must take place if one would see the kingdom of God. This new birth is not a matter of blood relation. It's not inherited. It is not accomplished by one's human will or by the will of another person. This new heavenly birth into the kingdom of God is experienced by those who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Radio friend, have you received him into your heart? If you have, you are given the right to become a child of God and have been born into God's family of the redeemed ones. Moving down now to verse 14, we have, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Here we have a fifth glory, the glory of the incarnate Word. The eternal Word partook of flesh and blood. God was manifested in flesh and partook of true humanity. Sin apart. This is the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, Galatians 4:4 tells us. This glory of the incarnation of Christ, that is, of a divine person taking on a human form and nature, must be owned as an essential and vital truth of the Christian faith. The Apostle John warned at the latter end of his life, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, they who do not confess Jesus Christ coming in flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist, 2 John 7. Such were not to be received even in one's house. This is what John wrote in this epistle to the elect lady and her children. In the latter part of John 1:14, we have another glory of Christ in flesh spoken of. John says, and we have contemplated his glory, a glory as of an only begotten with a Father, full of grace and truth. The New Translation by Mr. J. N. Darby. This is a sixth glory, that of an only begotten with a Father. It is a special title which only the Apostle John uses in relation to Jesus Christ. He uses the phrase only begotten five times, here in John 1:14, then in verse 18, and again in John 3:16, and in verse 18, and in the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 9. It is a term of endearment and relationship. In the Gospel of Luke, this Greek word for only begotten is used four times in connection with one who was an only son, an only daughter, or an only child. Thus the term has the force of an only one, unique, and greatly beloved. This was the place Christ always had with the Father. So when he was manifested here on earth in flesh, he had the glory of an only begotten one with the Father. It was the glory of a unique relationship as of an only son. The word only begotten should not be taken as meaning that Christ was born of the Father, as we think in human terminology. The Greek text here does not say an only begotten of the Father, but an only begotten with the Father. It is a matter of relationship and not of generation or offspring that is here presented. Now in verse 17, we see a seventh glory of Christ. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came or subsists by Jesus Christ. Verse 14 had said his glory of the only begotten with the Father was full of grace and truth. And here we see grace and truth came or commenced to be in actual existence on earth by Jesus Christ. What wonderful words are these, grace and truth, in contrast to the sternness and coldness of the law of Sinai, the do's and don'ts given by Moses. Grace is loving kindness and unmerited favor. Truth is what is factual and genuine reality. Both are realized and manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. Notice it is grace first, and then truth. God approaches man, a sinner and a rebel against himself, in wondrous grace and loving kindness, that he might save him according to truth and righteousness by the redemption in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful glory of Jesus Christ this is, the one who has brought into existence grace and truth. Passing on now to verse 18, we read, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. This gives us an eighth glory of Jesus Christ. He's the one who ever dwells in the bosom of the Father and has declared or made him known. It is, as a hymn writer has well stated, dwells in his bosom, knoweth all that in that bosom lies, and came to earth to make it known that we might share his joy. The term bosom is a human figure which denotes closest union and complete intimacy. It is the place of love expressed and enjoyed, and indicates the place of the enjoyment of every secret purpose and delight. So Jesus, as the one dwelling in the bosom of the Father, is set forth here as the declarer of the Father's love and secret. The great and eternal God, whom no man has seen or can see, as 1 Timothy 6:16 declares, has now been made known by the only begotten Son who dwells in his bosom. This is the only way anyone can know God. We must come to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Following on in the divine account in John 1, we have details about the witness of John the Baptist to Christ. The climax of his testimony is given in verse 29 when he proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here we have a wonderful ninth glory of Christ as God's Lamb of sacrifice for sin. In Old Testament days, a lamb was offered up for sacrifice every morning and every evening in connection with the tabernacle worship in Israel. With the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, we have this great and momentous proclamation as to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, the whole world. So we read that now, once in the end of the age, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26. And the Apostle Peter writes that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 18:19. For all who accept him as their personal Savior, their sins are forgiven and put away now. But the day is coming when sin itself will be taken out of the world through Jesus Christ, God's Lamb. There will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness will dwell. 2 Peter 3:13. Thank you for joining us in this What the Bible Says broadcast with Raymond Campbell as teacher. We welcome you to be with us again next week at the same time for a continuation of our subject of personal glories of Jesus Christ in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Until next time, we pray that God will bless you in Jesus Christ.